When Pulse Data International announced a couple of years ago that they'd developed a PDA for blind people running under Windows CE, many people felt there was enormous potential for future growth of the product in terms of its feature set. So 2 years on, just how well are Pulse Data International taking advantage of the potential of Windows CE? Well, there are lots of things happening there, and to tell us about some of them, we're joined by Larry Lewis, the product manager for the Braille Note at Pulse Data International. Larry was visiting New Zealand last week, and I caught up with him at a function conducted by the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind, took him aside to an office, and recorded this chat. Larry, good to have you along. You know, it's nice to be actually in person and not at the other end of a telephone for once.
Or in the U.S. I was jesting with you earlier that I'm on your turf now, and it's nice to be down in Auckland and visiting with you and working one-on-one with you on some very exciting Braille Note developments that are occurring at this stage.
Yeah, we'll talk about those. What's your role with Pulse Data now? Because there's been a bit of restructuring going on, it seems.
There's been a bit of restructuring. For the past several years, just over 3 years, I've worked with Humanware, which is a U.S.-based company that distributes a number of different adaptive hardware and software solutions for people who are blind and low vision. About a year ago, Humanware was bought out by the Pulse Data Group, Pulse Data International, which is based in Christchurch. And for the past 13 years, Humanware has had a fairly lengthy and productive relationship with Pulse Data International. And really, one of my decided factors for coming on board with Humanware was the actual Braille Note project, which was in development when I joined the company, and we since launched it a couple of years ago. With that restructuring and with the buyout of Humanware and some other adjustments that were made with some other Pulse Data subsidiaries in North America, we've merged those subsidiaries and become a new company in the U.S., Pulse Data Humanware. With that restructuring, I was asked by the Pulse Data International management to move into more of a direct product management role with Pulse Data International to oversee the product positioning and marketing of the Braille Note family of products. So it's a nice shift for me in that I still get to work probably about two-thirds of the time with Humanware and Pulse Data Humanware and all of the staff that I've come to know and enjoy working with over the past few years, but also being able to effectively direct traffic a little bit more with future developments with this product line in the coming months and hopefully coming years as we continue to try to keep this on the forefront of innovative portable technology. So I'm working quite a bit with Pulse Data Humanware, the other Pulse Data subsidiaries in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. And it's always fun coming down here. My intent is to try to at least work with the Pulse Data staff in Christchurch once a quarter. And it's a rather lofty goal because of some of the other traveling that I have to do, but it's always a pleasure to come down here.
And for those who haven't met you before, you're a blind person yourself, and I think that's important to mention because you're a consumer of the product. What happens to it really matters to you as a user of it.
Yeah, and it's always an interesting position for me to be in because you obviously have costs associated with development, with manufacturing, with distribution, and a number of things that are important to keep your business healthy and keep things balanced so that sales are up, revenues are up, so that future developments can occur. But it's also important to me and at the core of my philosophy that the consumer is the most important thing that matters in this industry, and serving the consumer, providing a service through providing the best adaptive solutions possible is really needs to be at the core of Pulse Data's philosophy as well as all the subsidiaries' philosophy. So it's often a balancing act with balancing all those different types of hats. I think one thing that consumers don't realize, and I didn't really realize until I got into this industry. I come from the nonprofit sector, working in more of a training and evaluating capacity. And one thing that became apparent to me really right off the bat was that it costs money to develop any type of product, be it a screen reader, be it a scanning product, be it a note taker or a personal data assistant. These projects just don't magically disappear. There's a whole process of obtaining funding for researching and investigating, and then implementing and then seeing the project through. So keeping that in mind, coupled with doing what's right for the consumer, is always a challenge for me, and something that I'm always striving to balance out.
From a presentation that we've just attended, I note that the BrowNote family is generating about 50% of revenue for Pulse Data now. Does that mean that more development resources can afford to be deployed for BrowNote development?
Yeah, and we've seen some growth in our development department, bringing on some additional staff and expanding and bringing on some additional technical writers and testers, and divvying up really the hardware and software aspects of the different projects that are at hand. So you have seen, we have seen some growth in that regard in the past, really the past year and a half, with some new additions. And I think ultimately, as things progress and as some of the new projects come to fruition, that we're going to need to expand more. And this comes with, it's a real circular thing with revenues come more demand, come more development things that come to the forefront. The bigger the consumer pie, or the bigger the, I guess, the market that you're tapping into, or the market share that you're obtaining, the larger the development plate becomes, and the more people you need to tend to various projects. So that's something that, as we intend to constantly grow and to constantly evolve, where we're going to ultimately need to continue to expand.
You're multiple language capable now.
Am I multiple language?
Right. Or as in the BrowNote family.
I have a hard enough time with English, and then when I come down here, it's a whole different ball game with the same language. So
I know. You know, we call wall outlets PowerPoints, and when I went into a hotel in the US a while ago, I asked, where is the PowerPoint in my room? And they didn't have a clue what I was talking about, and it was really frustrating, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, wall outlets, plugins. I noticed that you dinged another American here for mentioning that it was 5 of 9 rather than 5 to 9.
I need to do it because he lives here now.
Yeah, he lives here now. Yeah. So we actually this week have locked down the multilingual software for Keysoft, and we're actually testing out the means of distributing that so that it's tied to a specific serial number on which it's installed. So we have support as English, having English as a base language, and then as secondary options, being able to support Spanish, French, German, and Italian. What the individual would do is they would place their order with the respective Pulse Data subsidiary. In the U.S.'s case, it would be Pulse Data Humanware. In New Zealand's case, it would be Pulse Data NZ. How'd you like that? I said NZ.
NZ, very impressive.
What would happen is you would place the order, and we have a secure website in which the service staff at the respective subsidiary would then punch in the serial number, the order, the name, all the contact info, and select the language that the individual would want to purchase. And then a file would be generated, an executable file that would be tied to that serial number that the user could then install on their product. And all documentation also comes with this file and on this card. We would distribute it on a small 32-meg ATA card, just a PCMCIA card that we would just plug into the side, and the user would run the installation and have that capability. And the advantage would be I have an English Braille note, but I have the capability to interact within the word processor, the email, the address list, the date planner, the book reader, and so forth. Have the ability to interact within another language. So a practical application standpoint, a high school student receives a assignment from a Spanish teacher in which they have an English assignment that they have to translate. You could actually open up that file on the Braille note, that English file to translate, and toggle the Spanish with just a keystroke, type in your Spanish equivalents, and the Braille note would automatically toggle back to English.
Now, that works for Braille as well as the speech?
Yes. We brought in the necessary Braille tables for those four languages. We will be doing some things in the coming months to enhance those tables, as well as the necessary Keynote multimedia speech engines for those respective languages, so that those would automatically toggle. We also, if you, for instance, were operating in Spanish, would have access to the Spanish spelling dictionary for spell checking. and so forth. And the beauty of it is, I guess really the market is English as a second language initially, so I would still be able to get all of my help messages in English and still be able to function in that given language. We are looking at localized versions of different languages and have a schedule to come out for our European subsidiaries with French and German languages in the next few months, and we'll be exploring other full localization options throughout the different countries around the world.
That must be important revenue-wise, because Braille is just so big in European countries, much bigger than, say, here or the U.S.
And what's ironic is it's a relatively untouched market. In dealing with my dealings with HumanWare, with other Braille display manufacturers, I am just amazed, and just truly amazed, that you have a number of companies over there within a three-hour driving radius of one another that sell a lot of laptops with Braille displays into the educational sector and vocational markets over there, and a laptop with a Braille display cures all. And then we start getting into the product philosophy that I believe in, which is the more tools a person has at their disposal and an appropriate set of tools in a given situation is what's really important. And I do have a difficult time with the concept of a third or a fourth grader being thrown in front of a laptop with a Braille display. So I think that our we're really looking at some uncharted waters. We do have some competitors that are coming out with some products in that region, which we'll try to break down some doors to offer some alternatives. But probably our biggest competitor over there is a Braille display with a laptop.
Mm. And what's amazing to me is that it's very common to see kids with a Braille display and a PC at home, and another Braille display and another PC at school.
And oftentimes, you have an 80 cell at home, an 80 cell at school, and a 40 cell to get you to and from.
Yeah.
So it's
all government funded too.
Very much so. Yeah. And I stepping out of my product management more into my consumer hat right now, there's something to be said for that in priorities and where the priority lies with. I don't want to get myself in any trouble, but maybe with the U.S. government, where it's oftentimes difficult to get a $700 piece of software in a given school district, and we could learn a lot from other countries.
Well, there is this view that somehow Braille isn't as important as it used to be, that somehow you can truly be functionally literate if you just use speech. It's a view that I don't share.
Right, and neither do I.
Oh. All right. Now, there are a few features of note in this new version that supports multilingual capabilities for users in general, though. I note that you can save your documents, or you can specify a default saving option now, so that if Microsoft Word is more convenient, it will always save files in that format if you choose that to be the default.
Yes, something that we've been asked by a number of consumers, one of which would be you, or one of whom would be you, would be to have that ability. And so what we've done in Keysoft 3.1, which is the basis for the multilingual version, and will also be the basis of other Braille Note releases coming up, is that we do have the ability to select a specific file type for opening a given file. So while our default might be keyword Braille, which would be a straight Keysoft grade 2 Braille file, if an individual does wish to open up a file in a Microsoft Word or an RTF file format or what have you, they're able to do that. Keeping in mind that there's really not a direct way for anyone, Pulse Data, any of Pulse Data's competitors at this stage, to interact directly into Grade 2 using, if you're trying to access Pocket Word per se. So you would have to do so in computer Braille, would be the only drawback. Now, for our QWERTY users, it's not really a big deal, because you would be able to open up a file and just enter in directly, a Microsoft Word directly, to straight text and so forth. But that is a noted distinction, and that's just a barrier of the current technology that we're in the process of trying to sort right now. But we are able to do that to change our file type in which we'd want to open and create a file, so that you don't have to go through the step of creating a Braille file and saving it as a different file format, which is also a palatable option too.
And deleting from a file list, very nice.
Yeah, we're able to delete one of the criticisms, and a just criticism of where the Braille Note has come from, is that you had a file manager utility, you'd have your word processor in which you could simply create and open files. And what we're aiming to do with being able to delete files from that file list in a word processor, you could not do before. You'd have to exit and go directly to your file manager and delete. Ultimately, I'd like to see a more explorer type environment so that I could open files from my file manager, much like I can Windows Explorer, and also delete, copy, move, and do some other more intuitive explorer type functions from the word processor. So we're beginning to do that with this new multilingual release that's coming out that will also be the basis of other KeySoft releases.
Now, there's a lot of work that's been going on behind the scenes for a wee while, and some of our US listeners will already have seen it. And with respect to the GPS option, some people already own it. Can we talk about the GPS facilities in Braille Note now?
Yes. Just a little bit of background for those listeners who might not know the entire history. About 10 months ago, myself, Jim Halliday, who is the president of Pulse Data Humanware, Dr. Russell Smith, who is the CEO and managing director of the Pulse Data Group, myself, Mike May, and a couple of other folks sat down, and for those of you who do not know Michael May, which I find hard to believe, Mike is known pretty much worldwide for all of his work with this wayfinding technology and is the president and CEO of Sendero Group. We asked Mike to join us and to bring his technology, which at the time was running off of a laptop, his wayfinding GPS technology, which simply put, enabled a person to ascertain where they were at, where they were going, and ultimately where they wanted to be. To take that technology and to move it from, quite frankly, what I felt maybe wasn't the most appropriate platform for a person who was blind, that being a laptop with a backpack and cables and all types of things, and move it to really the first portable data assistant for the blind, that being the Braille Note family of products, the Braille Note, the Voice Note, all models of the Braille Note. Taking that technology, merging it with really the first portable data assistant. I think that folks should know that we are trying to move away from the whole terminology of a note taker and move more into the terminology of a PDA for the blind. It's not our intent to hold on to the past, which is rich with tradition, and it's also not our intent to replace the efforts of a desktop PC. It's our intent to provide the best Palm solution that interacts with the most mainstream technologies possible. And this GPS mainstream technology that Mike had tapped into with the laptop and so forth, we just felt it was an appropriate fit for the technology that we've been working with Braille Note and all of the members of the Braille Note family.
So in practical terms, what does the current release allow you to do?
The current release enables an individual to create a specific route using what they would do initially would be to connect a commercial Magellan receiver to their serial port. And we have a carrying case that accommodates the GPS receiver. And what it would enable you to do is connect to the serial port so that you can use the serial cable for the Braille Note GPS to let me back up here and try to explain this better. We have a commercial receiver with an antenna on the top. Mm-hmm. And that antenna communicates with the 24 satellites that orbit the Earth and give you that global positioning technology that you might see in rental cars and sailing vessels and things like that.
Looks a bit like a cell phone.
A little bit like a cell phone. I passed one around a little bit earlier during our presentation. All we care about is that antenna. We don't care about the screen on the receiver or all the other buttons on the receiver. We care about that antenna and the serial cable that communicates the information from that antenna to the Braille Note, in which we've developed in conjunction with Sendero, Pulse Data International, and Sendero have developed this GPS application. You're able to ascertain where you're at when you create a route, so you would be able to mark a point of where you're at to start the route. you're able to create a specific route, placing waypoints along the way. So for instance, if I was leaving the Royal National Foundation this morning, I could set a waypoint at the front door as my first waypoint, and I could then begin to migrate down the street. I could mark turns in the street. I could also list other information, low-lying tree branch, open manhole cover.
So you'd have to stop and write that in, right?
You would initially while you create the route, and you could do that either by yourself or with sighted assistance and so forth. Mm-hmm. It would probably be a little quicker at this stage with sighted assistance. Along with those views or waypoints that you could create, we also in the U.S. have over 700,000 points of interest, commercial points of interest that we've licensed from Magellan. And those points of interest could best be categorized by recreational type categories such as golf and camping and recreation, parks, things like that, restaurants, museums. I'm going to say the right thing again, patrol stations. You call it patrol down here?
Petrol.
Petrol. Still haven't gotten it down, but I'm trying.
Very good.
And you would be able to categorize those points accordingly. They would be categorized for you. You could load the respective, they're broken down into the 50 states in the U.S., plus Canada and Mexico as well. You would be able to load your respective states directly into the Braille Note. You would then be able, when you turn your GPS receiver on, when you're in the process of either creating or loading a route, and you could load a route that's been created, and we'll get into that in a moment, what you're able to do is ascertain through the satellite or through the GPS receiver the nearest commercial points of interest, be it a McDonald's or a camping grounds or a golf course or a gas station or something like that, that would be your nearest point of interest, ascertain how far away that was in the direction that you're walking, and it would give you the direction in which the nearest point would be. As you progress through that points of interest list, it expands as far as telling you what's around you, either telling you ahead or behind, right and left. And what you could do is you could really set one of those points of interest as your final destination and begin to work towards that point of interest. So, we actually do have 165,000 points of interest for New Zealand. We haven't gotten that indexed yet and ready for the New Zealand launch yet, but in theory what you'll be able to do is when you walk outside of the Royal Institute or the Royal National Foundation at lunchtime per se at the front door, you would be able to begin walking outside and ascertain what restaurant is nearby for lunch. You could set your you could set your destination there. You could arrive there, eat lunch, come back out, reload that route, and it will automatically fix your final destination on where you started, that being the front door of the Royal National Foundation.
So it would tell you when to turn left, when to turn right, to head back there.
Right. Now, you have to be careful when it would tell you that, but when you're putting points along the way, I found just in my usage with this product that you can't say turn left, because then when you're coming back, it might not read the point right. It might tell you to turn left. So I would say turn in the sidewalk, per se, and or turning left going. So you need to be specific with information that you might put in as a waypoint, which is a bit different than a point of interest. A waypoint is just something you might put in a specific location to tell you something about your environment, or like a low-lying tree branch ahead. And that would also mark that low-lying tree branch coming the other way.
How accurate is it? Like if it tells me that there's a McDonald's as a point of interest, which I would find extremely interesting right now.
Right.
And will it tell me when I'm right by the door?
I have gotten it, depending on my satellite fix, I have gotten it to be within 3 feet. I've also gotten it up within 30 feet. So the idea is it gets you pretty close, and it can range from anywhere from 3 to 30 to 45 feet. Again, I was doing a demonstration a few weeks ago when we were taking a crew walking from an office such as this and walking towards a Chinese restaurant, and right when I hit the front door, I had actually just a really nifty little wave file that came to pass and that actually happened. And I know, Jonathan, you know what I'm doing here. I'm actually just turning my Braille Note on. And I'm a big Braille user, so I'm putting my speech up.
29.
By going to my GPS application.
Creator options. Sounds.
I'll go into sounds.
No gateway point arrival alert.
Right when I touched the front door, I heard Mike May's voice.
Arrive!
So we had a whistle initially as an arrival, which wasn't really setting too well with our beta testers. So for the aesthetics of it all, we moved into more of into that,
much
that
more
Mike's voice. Which
you could
is
record
more
your own waveform, I suppose, if you really want to. Yeah, so that's impressive. So I can imagine that there'd be a lot of interest in this for people coming to the conventions because, you know, you don't want to get hit with a big hotel cost all the time.
Exactly. And we are going to be doing a number of different routes at both the American Council of the Blind and National Federation conventions. We'll be at both conferences and we'll be doing a number of things around the hotels. We'll be doing a number of demonstrations and so forth. To be fair to other subsidiaries who are listening in, I will also be at the Sight Village conference, as will many of my Pulse Data International colleagues in Birmingham, England. So we'll be doing some work there. Next week, when I leave here, and I know you're going to probably get a dig in here, but we'll be doing some work in Australia with some points of interest in Australia. And
oh, no, I wouldn't get a dig in because we've got some listeners in Australia.
Right.
So, you know.
So I will be in the Melbourne area next week, so that should be a lot of fun. So we'll actually, it'll be my first time actually playing around with the points of interest database that we have for Australia. So we're embarking on a rather ambitious promotional tour to a number of different regions where our other subsidiaries are, but have had a fairly aggressive campaign in the U.S. and will be doing some things at the U.S. summer conventions where I know we have a lot of listeners.
It seems to me that there's probably a big market for somebody to map out common routes for these sorts of conventions so that maybe they could be, I don't know, they must be saved in some kind of file. You could see
yes.
them, put them on the web and download them and have a whole sort of list of routes for getting to particular restaurants from popular convention sites.
We're looking into doing that. It's saved as a .gps file on your BrailleNote,
yeah.
and that would be an option. Another option that we're looking at is you actually have a user points of interest database that you can generate with things like your house and you know, things that might not be on your commercial points of interest database. So we're also looking at putting up user points of interest for respective regions around the country, which you would be able to download and so forth.
So what sort of reaction have you received from people who are already working with this product?
It's been fairly positive. We, as you know, have a BrailleNote discussion list, and a number of those users on the list have purchased the GPS and we started taking orders at CSUN and shipping at the end of April of this year. And it's what's amazing with the whole process is that it's become a real first of all, it's a very functional application, but it's really done exactly what Mike has predicted and generated quite a bit of interest in the BrailleNote family of products. The actual functionality of this GPS has actually brought quite a bit of attention to the BrailleNote family of products as a whole. So it's just a real great fit with both technologies. And again, once again, demonstrates how BrailleNote and its implementation of Windows CE, really the first portable data system to implement such technologies, is able to tie in finally after a couple years of working with this product and in a number of different application type situations. We're really starting to see this technology do what we told you it would do a couple of years ago, and that's be able to tie into what the mainstream is using.
And I note that you were particularly active on that list a couple of weeks ago.
I was. We had a little snafu with our listserv, and one of my messages that I posted a couple of weeks ago, I received 4,000 copies of it in my inbox. And Jonathan Sharp, my colleague, received 8,000.
You're very prolific. Very prolific indeed. Now, one of the things that, am I right in saying that the current version of the software, it can't do the following? If I'm sitting at home and I want to say, you know, I want to go from my house to the local Pizza Hut it won't produce a route for me based on map data yet, is that right?
Not yet, but we intend to have that out. We're working quite closely still with Sendero. We've already begun to work on version 2 in the early development stages, and version 2 will have maps for the U.S. We're still facing some licensing challenges around other parts of the world, but we will have map data in version 2. And that will be the final piece to the what I call the location literacy puzzle, knowing where you're at and getting to where you need to be, having that actual street map data built in.
So at that point, will it be smart enough to tell you that you do need to turn right at a particular point or cross the street?
We're still speccing out what it should do, but from my perspective, what needs to happen is we punch in an address to where we're at and where we need to be, and a route is generated. And ultimately, what I'd like to see, it's a team effort where we're all working, and Mike's spearheading a lot of the user stories that come from the development process of speccing out something. But I'd also like to see the ability to print the route and emboss the route from the Braille note for people who might want a hard paper copy, but also for sighted individuals. Emailing that route, and the possibilities are really endless. But yes, the intent would be to develop a route based on that data by punching in addresses.
How much for this amazing device?
Well, we're selling BrailleNote GPS with the receiver, all documentation, software, whole nine yards for $649 US.
Mm-hmm.
We are selling right now an SMA for $250, which will get you the map data when it comes out, so that individuals who commit to this now and benefit from what it can do now also have the opportunity to move directly into the maps if they wish. We're looking at ultimately around a $900 whole nine yards. We're still sorting out how we're going to distribute the maps. Is it going to be a regional pricing? Is it going to be a national pricing? It will require quite a bit of memory, on a micro drive of sorts. I think all the map data for the U.S. is roughly 2 gigs,
all right,
I believe. So we're still sorting out the particulars, but we will take care of individuals who commit to this this early on, as we have with individuals who've committed to the BrailleNote early on. We continue to intend to do that with BrailleNote GPS.
Just while we're on the subject of costs, it's obviously something that really gets in the way of many people for such useful technology. Are there plans to allow people to somehow pay off the cost of BrailleNote-type technology?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Through financing, so that you can pay it off over a period of time.
I know that many of Pulse Data Humanware's distributors have a lot of partnerships with local banks in a region around the U.S. And so, for instance, let's just take, and I'll just use just a region, the Southeast, as an example. Maybe a distributor down in Florida or in another state, I'm just throwing out just an example, might have a relationship with a local bank that would provide low interest loans, lower than a credit card, 5-6% type loans. We also direct people to, I know where I live in Ohio, there used to be I'm still not sure if it's active, but there used to be a low cost state subsidized loan program where you would simply have a quote produced, and it would go out to bid, and then you would be able to receive 5-6% loan per annum loan based on purchasing that technology. Pulse Data nor its subsidiaries have anything like that set up at this stage. It is something we could look into. Again, then you're dealing with having to incur the extra costs of hiring manpower to manage it. Dealing with collections, and it's something that altruistically I think would be a great thing to do, but I think practically it's something we'd have to take a look at. Well, if we have this loan program, then we're going to need to think in terms of, well, how are we going to pay for the staff to manage it, and at the same time offer something that would be a competitive alternative to using a credit card or something like that.
Now, we can take a sneak peek at the future. Now, I guess we could almost call this the next. Would you say this is the next generation of BrailleNote? Is this kind of like a Mark II? Would you brand it as?
I don't know if I'd go as far as say next generation. We will be moving to a new motherboard within the Braille Note within the next 6 weeks or so. And the rationale for moving to this new motherboard is that the product has been out for over 2 years. And with all due respect, technology marches on. The Braille Note that was spec'd out and that was launched a couple of years ago, I think if you, and it may not be a fair comparison, but if you take a look at the PC, I have a Dell PC that's a couple of years old, and it's pretty much at the end of its road.
Depressing.
So we could do one of two things. We can make the mistake of proceeding with the same type of technology for years and years and years, and just expecting individuals to accept that. Or we could keep our technology moving forward and make modifications and adjustments, and at the same time try to provide an upgrade path for current users. So we are going to be moving to a new motherboard for the primary reason of launching the web browser application on the Braille Note, which will be occurring within the next, I want to say, eight weeks development. And I are always in these discussions about launch dates, and I'm probably on the ambitious side, and I'm learning that with any development process, you can be cruising along at 80 miles per hour and run right into a wall, and that could derail you for a bit of time until you figure out why that wall appeared. and then you can be back on track and cruising along and smack, run into another wall. So our intent is to shift hardware platforms, shift motherboards in towards the end of July, and then move directly into implementing the web browser into all products by early to mid-August, actually.
So what's so good about this new motherboard? What does it have going for it that the current one doesn't?
Okay, one of the criticisms of the Braille Note initially was that it had a 33.5 software modem, internal software modem. We've moved to a 56K hardware modem. The current platform has 16 megs of system, actually 8 megs of system memory, and we've quadrupled that to 32 megs of system memory. We've doubled the memory. The flash disk, initially it was 8 megs of user memory that is now doubled to 16. Still can select the 48 meg option, which you have. More importantly, we've also put in an additional PC card in the back between Type 2 PCMCIA card between the serial and parallel ports in the back for an additional card. Now, that's important because right now we only have one PC card in the Braille Note, PCMCIA socket in the Braille Note for memory cards, the LS120 disk drive. For those who wish to use a PCMCIA modem, they could do that on the current board. We want to be able to allow for that to be used while at the same time having the ability to interact directly with a network card, while not compromising the really endless amounts of storage that you could have on the Braille Note by means of the PCMCIA card. So one card could be used for storage, interacting with your disk drive, etc., and the other card could then be used to run directly into a network-type situation.
And that network awareness is new, of course.
Yes, that'll be part of the new launch with the new version of KeySoft that accounts for the new web browser. And it should be noted, and I want to make this, you'll probably ask this question, but I want to make this distinction that, again, we are piggybacking off of what Microsoft has done with Internet Explorer technology, and this piggybacking off of Pocket IE, but yet putting our intuitive user interface over top of it, so that you benefit directly from what's going on with the mainstream, but you have a very intuitive, user-friendly, yet robust environment to interact with these applications. So we have not developed our own web browser. What we have done is taken advantage of what's out there and are developing the necessary hooks, the necessary modifications, the necessary adaptations to, again, capitalize on the relationship with Microsoft, with that common denominator being Windows CE.
So the browser will simply not run on current Braille notes, is that correct, or are you going to try and make a cut-down version of
It won't necessarily be a cut-down version. Where the priority lies in a very difficult, painful decision that we've made is that, to answer your question, yes, it's our intent for the Braille note to also run on the current hardware, because I don't really feel that it's right for any company, including the Pulse Data Group, to strong-arm its consumers into updating. I mean, Dell's not beating down my door telling me to get a new Dell. just to run specific applications. Now, I will come to the realization when I try to put XP on that Dell that, hey, it's not happening. And then I'll have to make a decision. It's our intent, once we get the hardware and the software all sorted out in early August, to then look after persons who might not want to upgrade the hardware on the current units. And again, if it's a situation where it just seamlessly flows and seamlessly works and so forth, then we can think about a subsequent solution for persons, or just a parallel solution being released. In all likelihood, we're looking probably at a delay addressing this issue with persons who simply want to keep their current current hardware. If we could somehow tie into using that one PC slot with the network or a PCMCIA 56K modem, but we will still probably release it with the understanding that there may be times that it doesn't perform as well as it will with the new hardware.
And are there speed improvements with the new motherboard?
It's still using the same processor, but I think, as you witnessed today and as we'll witness momentarily, that modem makes all the difference. That network connectivity will make all the difference. The additional system memory, with things not being too crowded and so forth, just having that additional room to grow, we're fairly happy with where we're at, and we're still in what I would still call the alpha phase.
You're also working with synchronization between desktop and CE applications.
Right. At the CSUN 2002 conference, something that I demonstrated, firstly, we unveiled our first cut and our first swing at the web browser software. But another really important feature that I demonstrated from an employment or a vocational standpoint was that I was able to have an NT server that we had tucked off to the side during my presentation. I believe it was just running Win 2000, but it was just an NT server that we had set up, in which I had a network cable and a card coming off of that server. And we have, as you know, we have the ability to use Microsoft ActiveSync right now, simply for moving files from the Braille Note to the PC and PC to the Braille Note. But what we did was we tied directly into ActiveSync through the Ethernet card, and I had a My Documents folder set up on my Braille Note, and I had a My Documents folder on the NT workstation, and I had no files in My Documents on the Braille Note, and I tied directly into that network card. ActiveSync automatically launched, and just like that, I was synchronized with the network. I then disconnected, made some changes, created a file on my Braille Note, reconnected, and I likened it in my presentation to, I come to work one morning, synchronize with the network, go out for the day for whatever reason to work outside of the building, come back at the end of the day, have made some changes to the current files, have also created some new files, and synchronized directly at the end of the day with the network to share that information with my colleagues. Future considerations, and I don't want to put any time frames or anything on this, but we have been asked to look at things such as Outlook synchronization with our date planner and with our address lists and messages and so forth. And all I will say at this time is that we know that it's an issue, and from my perspective, it's one of those things that warrants a high priority to round out offering really breaking down the doors for portable data assistance for the blind in an employment situation.
Wow, shall we take a look at the browser then? And
yeah, that would be great. That would be great. And I think since we're on ACB Radio, the first site I'd like to go to is the ACB site, and then we can play around.
Okay.
Sound menu.
Let me get out of... Main first menu. Of all, let me get the right Braille note. I've got all these Braille notes in front of me.
Oh, I see. He's a man of many Braille notes.
Right. Right.
You haven't got the GPS on the new motherboard yet.
We can install that quite easily on the new motherboard, actually.
Main menu.
Okay. I'm going to just move through my main menu, and you'll see all of the classic applications such as the word processor, planner, address list.
Email, internet.
And then we come to internet, and we're still... we'll call it internet on the main menu. We will still, in order to keep with the branding theme of all the applications such as Keyword and Keymail and Keyplan, the leading vote right now is KeyWeb. We've also had KeyNet. KeyConnect has been another name that we're kicking around. KeyWeb is probably the decided leader right now. So we'll select enter on internet, and we'll be asked for an address.
Address.
And I'll type www.
www.acb.org. Org. Service to call. Press enter for clear.
And we hear service to call. Press enter for clear. Now I set up so that the Royal National Institute or the Royal National Foundation wouldn't have to pay any exorbitant bills to the states in my local provider. Would make for strengthening relations with the institution here. So what I've done is we set up a local Clear account that we use in New Zealand with Pulse Data, and have a local Clear account set up. And it's very dial-up networking like. You go into your email setup, and you can create a new service by putting in your service name, the modem that you want to use, and it can be either your network card. And in this case, we're just going to go through a phone line. Then you put your local number in, your username, your password. If you're going to use email, your email username, your email password, your SMTP and POP server information, and within a couple of minutes, you're away and going. So we're going to select Clear as a service, and it's going to dial, and there's a couple second delay before it starts dialing. And for those of you in the States, you're going to hear a little different tone than a dial tone. It'll be more of a high-pitched beep. And we're dialing out.
That's our dial tone.
That's their dial tone, not ours. Their dial tone. And we hear the obnoxious noise of the modem.
So this is the new hardware modem.
Yes.
Connected.
And we've connected.
Logging
and we're logging on.
Logging successful.
Log on successful. Connected. We're pulling down the page.
Counsel in the blind.
And you saw how fast that pulled it down, and I didn't really have that stored or anything. It's just something I wanted to pull up here.
So what it does is... So it reads the title of the page, does it? So it lets you know that it's done.
And if it would have taken longer, you would have had the status beep that we have. Yeah. It's just a beep that many of our users will be painfully aware sometimes. And that will be our status beep. And what you could do is, while you're downloading, if it were a big... graphical site, and we'll take a look at some other sites, it would give us a percentage of how much had been pulled down, 47 complete, 47% complete, 60% complete, and so forth. Just before I could show that, I automatically pulled up American Council for the Blind.
It was quick.
So we have our page here, and for those of you who are Braille Note users like myself, and I think you operate this way too, Jonathan, I use a speech for demoing.
Yeah.
So... I have the speech on right now for demoing. If I look at the Braille display, if you'd like to look too, I'll let you reach over here. Okay. Right now we have a $HL for hyperlink start.
Okay.
For navigation. And we're, again, this is still on the precipice of beta testing. Within the next week or two, we're getting all the hardware together. And we've got a rather raucous crew of testers ready to go. So, but right now we have $HL for hyperlink, and you can see skip navigation, and we can just use our thumb keys, our links, to navigate accordingly. We have tied some commands in here so that we can move by links, by frames, by headings, and by input controls. And by default, I can select links just by moving through my links list, in a sense, much like I would do if I were using JAWS or WindowEyes, per se, by pulling up a links list. So what you'll hear as I move, I'm going to hit, right now it's space with dot 4-6 to move forward by link, space with dot 1-3 to move back by link, or move up and down our list of links. Rather than having the verbosity of link start, link end, and all of that, something that's in here, and it's quite nice, is actually a tone before our link. So I don't know if you want to put the microphone. You should be able to pick it up.
Yeah, you should be able to. Yeah, that's very audible. That. Yep.
Washington Connection, Rail Forum, Affiliates, ActJobs Bank, Helpful Resources, Convention Information.
So, with the convention coming up, if I wanted to do that, I could simply select Enter on Convention Information, and I can press Enter, and it'll say Actioning Hyperlink.
Actioning Hyperlink.
And now we might have a status beep.
Yep.
And so we'll pull that down. And it shouldn't take too long.
Oh, there's a lot of information
there.
So we had three beeps here. I can read this information. Now, if I wanted to change and not necessarily look at my links, but look at my status, my heading information, I can press a command.
Change what space with dots 1-3 and C.
I can hit H for heading. It's just basically change. I just interrupted it, but it says change with space and 4-6 and 1-3 do. Right now it's set to move down a links list. If I want heading, I could hit H for heading. I can hit F for frame, so I can more or less move through my respective frames on a web page. I'm going to hit heading.
Move by heading.
Okay. And so now I can move by heading to this web page rather than links.
Act Manual Convention Information. Act
right.
Reserves the right to modify programs and activities as 2001 convention sessions.
Okay, and so you can hop through these different headings, actually. And it kind of treats it like the screen reader might look for a chunk of information. The jump past those links treats it like that sort of a heading.
So it's actually loading the web page into a buffer, much like the modern screen readers are doing. Is there MSAA for CE?
We're not going down the MSAA route. We're just tying directly into, from what I understand, Windows CE, Pocket IE technology doesn't really support MSAA. Hmm. They tie directly, and we're using a document object model underneath.
Okay. But it's achieving the same effect, isn't it?
It actually is achieving the same effect, yeah. And we really, I know development went through a lot of pain deciding how to handle this, and with that document object model underneath and with our UI over top, we're still getting the same effect, which is what we're trying to strive for in this environment. It's not necessarily important, and I want to make a philosophical statement here. To me, it's not necessarily important to totally emulate what's happening in a graphical environment if you can achieve the same result. I was joking with a colleague who actually works with one of our competitors, and the whole concept of, well, I want to be able to do everything that a sighted person can do and access applications the same way a sighted person can do. And I said, well, let's take that a little step farther and look at that at other facets of our life. You and I get around. Do we want to get around the same way that a sighted person gets around? Do we want to drive? Maybe we want to drive, but that might not be the most healthiest approach in many environments or many situations. So to me, and what really summarizes the Braille Notes product philosophy is the results are seamless. The end result is seamless, and the end really justifies the means here in that I can still do what I need to do. Why do I necessarily want to replicate on a portable device what I can achieve using a powerful screen reader on a desktop PC? I mean, why would I want to go down that road just because a sighted person does it that way?
So you've got all your like regular keyword commands,
right,
like continuous reading. You can have it read from
yep.
top to bottom.
Yeah, I can just continue reading here, and the links are embedded.
2001 convention sessions. Read the 2001 convention issue of the Braille Forum. American Council of the Blind celebrates 40th anniversary at National Convention.
I could also find, if I were looking for a link or a word, I could hit space with F to find. More importantly, what's come out in this last couple of alphas is the ability to, let me back up for a moment. If I want to move back to the prior homepage, the ACB homepage, mm-hmm. I can press Enter with B.
Going back.
And it will act like my alt left arrow.
Yep.
And
American Council of the Blind.
Conversely, I could hit Alt F or Enter F, I'm sorry, to move forward. But what's nice is if I hit Enter with lower F,
favorites menu.
I can go into a favorites menu.
Okay.
Add favorite.
I can add this as a favorite, which I'll do.
Navigate to favorites.
I can navigate to my list of favorites, which is saved on my flash disk under a folder called My Favorites.
Organize favorites. And a menu.
Now, just out of interest, are those favorites compatible with IE, or are they different format?
They are saved, I believe, as HTM files.
Okay.
I have not. I will honestly. You caught me here because I haven't actually synced those over.
Because that'd be quite cool if you could do that. If you've got a whole list of IE
favorites and being able to sync those favorites back and forth. My sense is that it saves it simply as an HTM or a URL file.
Okay.
But that's something that actually we need to look into. But I'll just go ahead and add this.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite name. Press Enter for American Council of the Blind.
And you could obviously change that name.
So it's taking the title of the page as the default. Which
yes, exactly. And so I'll hit that.
American Council of the Blind. Save.
Now, what's also nice here is if I've been connected the whole time and it's a local number, so that's fine. But if I wanted to save this, I could simply hit Space S.
File name. Press Enter for American
and
Council
do the
of
same
the
thing,
blind.
And I could store that. I could store that simply on my flash disk, storage card, a disk, what have you. And again, we'll need to do some things with ActiveSync to see how that moves over and transfers information and so forth.
And is that saves as HTML does it, so it preserves all the hyperlinks and things.
I believe so. I just haven't opened it up on. Yeah. I just haven't opened it up on a PC yet.
Okay.
We can do some other things. We can open up a website. I'm going to hit Enter with O.
Address.
And I'll type www.
www. Period.
Why don't we go to Yahoo?
Yahoo. Period.
Which is a search engine. Yahoo.com.
Com.
And we'll bring up Yahoo. And again, it should be noted, I'm using a Braille keyboard here. We'll also definitely have QWERTY support. I'm just a Braille guy when it comes to portable devices like this. So, but all the models will have that. And so we've just brought Yahoo, which is a fairly sizable page. Ultimately, something that I've asked for in this product is it will also have how many links and information streaming in so that we also have that information when it opens up.
We won't make you load the empowerment zone.
Right, empowerment zone. But that will be a good one for beta testing.
Yahoo, get your own email address, claimyourname.com. Click here to lose 10 pounds.
Oh, yes, that's
right. And I got to say, I was exposed to both chocolate fish this week and Mallow Puffs.
Mallow Puffs, yeah, and you got the chocolate fish as well, did you?
I received a chocolate shift from or chocolate fish from Jonathan Sharp, and I had just gotten off the plane a couple of days ago and come right directly to the Pulse Data office, and he hands me this 8-inch long chocolate covered marshmallow fish and said, "Here's an American sized chocolate fish for you."
It's a New Zealand institution, the chocolate fish. Oh,
yeah. So that lose 10 pounds might be applicable by the end of this trip.
Yeah.
But you see how it brought down a fairly sizable page. We have personals. We have all of our leisure-type activities that somebody surfing the web would use. With our input controls and so forth, I think it's also important to know that we intend to fully support searches and interactions with a website to be able to search, be able to access information. You and I had a discussion prior to this interview about shopping and e-commerce is just a booming business in all industries. So we fully intend to be able to give you, the consumer, as good, if not a better solution. And while our target is not to compete with a screen reader necessarily on a PC, we fully intend to give you as innovative and more intuitive solution on a portable device as web, for web access.
So is your forms filling working at this stage, or is it still being developed?
I haven't played with it too much. This beta that this alpha that I just pulled on, it's supposedly working. But I have a bit of a lockup, and so we might need to actually reconnect. I don't know if my connection timed out. Here we go. We're going to move back here.
Well, this is a very early version.
Exactly. And what might have happened is we might have gotten a pop-up window, which we're still dealing with. We're actually needing to sort out how we handle pop-up windows, which we will have sorted out by the release. So I don't know, Jonathan, if there's a site that you would personally like to go to.
I am interested in whether you're intending to allow streaming on here. Of audio.
Not in version 1, and the only reason not in version 1 is because it's important for me to keep our crew focused on the task that's at hand. And the problem is, whenever you try to broaden your scope on a project, you can add, and you might add a bunch of things most of the way complete, but nothing ever gets done. So we want to stick to the initial spec for version 1, which calls for text-based access, searching, and providing a real solid foundation so that then we could sort out in version 2 and subsequent versions. I personally, from a user standpoint, feel that a portable MP3 player, a portable version of Real Audio, having that ported over, which we know that we can do at some stage, would be really important. What I have to ascertain is... and this is where the manufacturer vendor part of me comes out. What's more important is further penetration into the educational market with handling something else more important than a nicety? Is a nicety more important than that? And maybe a nicety is, but it's just sorting out where the priority lies.
I suppose, though, that there are so many multimedia ways of educating people these days that there's overlap there.
Right, and then the justification for bringing in some sort of pocket Real Audio or something like that, then you would say, well, this might not be necessarily the end goal. Well, it's a nice thing to listen to ACB radio on your Braille note. Maybe we want to tie into distance learning. Maybe we want to tie into multimedia type learning and doing some different things. Maybe we need to think in terms of while something like Chatterbox is accessible on a PC, maybe we need a portable chat client. Yeah. So the possibilities are endless, but if you don't set a limit of a scope on a project as to what needs to be done in a reasonable time frame, you get into promising, and not delivering.
Well, that brings me very nicely to a question I wanted to ask, actually, which is about the software development kit, because that will obviously open up a world of opportunity for developers to bring out lots of good stuff for the Braille Note. Where are we at with that?
The software development kit has been backburnered for in light of browser, GPS, multilingual, and some other things, and to me it's been backburnered long enough. And it's something that we're beginning to address a little bit more seriously. And I don't want to say that by closing the gap it'll be open or to set a time frame for when it'll be open, but it is something that has been shifted up to the front burner.
Okay. Just as a finale, I was quite impressed with your ability to demonstrate getting e-books via this, as in public domain Braille texts that are out there.
Right.
Are we able to have a look at that?
Yeah, and what I demonstrated earlier and what I can quickly pull down, I'll go back into Internet. We're going to have to connect. I've been asked for an address, and I have a rather lengthy URL from braille.org, which is a site for free downloads of books, most of which are classics and so forth. We are intent on working, I'm a web Braille user myself, close to what's going on with some of the Bookshare projects and other things like that. So we are wanting to work with all these companies and are beginning to work with all of these different ebook companies. But for the sake of simplicity, we'll use braille.org, and I'll paste from my clipboard an URL that I had saved. Let's go ahead and paste that, and I'll let it read to you.
www.braille.org/braille_book/carol/alice/index.html.
It's the Earl for Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, mm-hmm. and it's a very long length that, because of my American laziness, I didn't want to type in.
Oh, don't blame me.
So I'll go ahead and I'll select that. We're gonna reconnect again because we timed out on our connection. So we'll go ahead and we'll do that. And this is truly revolutionary because I was one of those kids who lugged around lots of volumes of books, Braille books. Reading Braille was real important to me as a child and still is today. But it's really a drag lugging around those books if you don't have to. I mean, your average novel is 4 or 5 volumes of Braille.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland's not exactly a small book. So we'll go ahead.
Connected. Logging on. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
And so we pulled that down, and we have the front page up here. The
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. Translated into Great AI Braille by Lisa Hall, San Antonio, Texas. Table of Contents. Chapter 1.
You can hear.
Chapter 2.
The links, it's all sorted by links, each chapter. And so what we can do, what I'm going to do is how I would do this. I would scroll back with my thumb keys, and I would be able to move to the chapters that I'd want to with my thumb keys, chapter 4, chapter 3, and so forth. I can route my cursor above chapter 4, and I know this maybe isn't the best way to demo, but I want to demonstrate for the Braille users. You also don't need all of this verbosity here either. So I can hit enter on chapter 4.
Actioning hyperlink.
And bring down that link.
http://www.braille.org/braille_underline.
So there's no title.
/braille_books/carol/alice/chap4.brf.
Okay, so it's a BRF file.
It brought it down as a BRF. Now, it should be noted we can handle, text, doc, RTF, BRF, HTML will also be addressed as well. What's nice is this will not do any goofy things with double translating. I always joke around with people that you need to understand that when you download a web Braille book on your PC, you need to be careful not to necessarily translate it twice because it mm-hmm. comes down translated. And if you enable grade 2, sometimes you come out with grade 4 Braille. So.
Yeah.
So if I want to read this.
Chapter Eve, the rabbit sent in a little bill. It was the white rabbit, trotting slowly back again and looking anxiously about as it went, as if it had lost something.
And so on. And we can read this with all of our thumb key commands and moving up and down, left and right, auto-scrolling, and so forth. And we can also save this, and we can also save this to a card. Again, I have that 5 GB card already with the entire Gutenberg project, info from my laptop, all the points of interest from my GPS for Australia, for the U.S., for Canada, for Europe. I have loads and loads of information on that card, other books, magazines I've pulled down from WebBraille, and I still have just under 4 gigs left.
Yes, that's great.
So, I mean, it equates to millions and millions of pages of Braille you have access to on a portable card. Now the missing piece of the puzzle is being able to grab this information portably and taking advantage of the information superhighway.
Do we know enough yet about pricing in terms of the motherboard upgrade and then the browser software?
Okay, we do. And, the pricing is never the fun part. But as I mentioned earlier, before the interview, it's important to note, and maybe I mentioned it earlier in the interview, that with every advancement and with every step, every progression, every step forward, there is a cost involved. These things just don't occur magically. They just don't happen, and it's just not. It just doesn't work that way. There's approval that needs to be sought. There's funding that needs to be made available, and then there's typically a plan to generate revenues based on that funding being spent, so that more projects and more progressions can be made. The price of the Braille notes in the U.S. will be raised $300 to reflect this hardware and software shift. We didn't feel that it was appropriate to charge for the browser and not include it, because most OSs, most Microsoft OSs, you know, all of them really, it's just included. I mean, IE just comes with your PC and Windows and what have you. So we we didn't feel that that was an appropriate way to go. So the costs on all models are going up $300. For people who have just received products and want to pay the $300 difference, we'll be happy to upgrade. We'll be happy to upgrade them. And we also have comparable pricing that's being worked out for all the subsidiaries. I just don't have all the currency exchanges. Sure. I just don't have them committed to memory, unfortunately. Yeah. But do know that in Europe and across the board, we'll be looking at a shift comparable to that. For people prior to April 1st who have committed to this product line, when we think in terms of upgrading to the newer technology, taking into account that the browser was never a part of the initial BrailleNote spec, upgrading the hardware, upgrading the technology, servicing, getting your unit in, getting the technology put into your unit, swapping out that board and all of that, we're looking at $795 US.
Okay, so that's motherboard and browser software.
Yes, we wanted to keep it. It may sound a little high, but we want to take into account that it does take time to upgrade each one. It's been a costly development endeavor. The software or the hardware that we're using is not necessarily given to us. We have to purchase the hardware, and nobody's really making any money on the $795. It's just trying to break even and cover our costs for doing this.
Does it change the size or shape of the BrailleNote at all?
Totally modular. And so that's important too, is to provide an upgrade path for your install base. And again, the intent for people who don't want to upgrade the hardware, and it's something that may not be addressed at the same time as the launch of the browser, but shortly thereafter. We're looking at providing a PC card modem and the software for less than $300 for people who don't want to upgrade to the new hardware.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you spending so much time with us, and lots of stuff going on.
Well, it's always a pleasure and an honor to connect with you, Jonathan, and it's a real privilege to be on Main Menu, and hope that those of you who are listening got something out of this. I will just quickly let you know that if you have any product-related questions, you can email me, which is usually the safest bet, at LarryL, at PulseData, PulseData.com. In the U.S., you may also call my home office number at 216-381-8106, or toll-free, you may also ring 800-722-3393. And I have a mailbox at the HumanWare headquarters as well that I check quite regularly.
Well, now, we must also mention that if people are coming to convention, you have both seminars and specials, I think, there, giveaways?
Right. We have organized right now in the U.S., and we're still doing some things with other subsidiaries for folks who are listening for conferences coming up. So I will address the U.S. giveaways first. We're going to be running at both of the conventions a number of seminars, roughly 45 minutes to an hour long, in our suites that we have. And we'll be covering similar to what we've done today, but a little bit more in depth with the browser and with some other new functionality and so forth. For individuals who participate and sit through those seminars, we will then enter them into a drawing for a VoiceNote GPS giveaway. The whole nine yards, a VoiceNote GPS giveaway, and they would have their choice of either Braille or QWERTY models of the VoiceNote. If voice is not your bag or anything that you really want any part of and you would prefer to have Braille, we'll be offering $1,500 off the purchase of a BrailleNote.
Great.
And if you wanted to purchase BrailleNote GPS, we would obviously just give you a $1,500 value. We are in the process of getting that circulated on the list and so forth, and probably by the time this airs, it will be out on the list. So you do need to both giveaways will be occurring at each convention's respective banquet, and you really do need to be present to win. So there's a few guidelines, hopefully nothing too out of the ordinary. And if there's an extenuating circumstance where you absolutely can't be there, you would want to discuss it with myself and Marlena Lieberg, who will also be helping me conduct these different sessions at the different conferences. I intend to be at both and will be at both, but can't be everywhere at once, so I need some help. And Marlena is just a wonderful addition to our staff. She's been a great assistant, a great rock for me to lean on to help with a lot of this Braille Note promotions in the U.S., and very happy to have her on board.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you again, and we will certainly look forward to progress and perhaps doing an additional demo when the product's ready for release.
When it's ready for release, we'll be very excited to come back and show you what we have. We, again, are very happy with where it's at, but it's not enough to have something that's working well. We want to provide the best solution we can and just make it the most stellar, portable online access solution that we can give you.